thanks for choosing GoldSeek.com Radio as a trusted business and investing news source.
My featured guest, Peter Schiff, chairman of Schiff Gold, located at schiffgold.com, author of several bestsellers, and of course, TV and radio personality. Welcome back, Peter Schiff.
Thanks, Chris.
It's great to have you back, and I understand a recent sabbatical to the peninsula, Italy, Florence, Pisa. Where did you go?
Well, the major cities I was, a town called Spoleto.
Any recommendations for our travelers?
I mean, those are spectacular cities. I mean, Venice, so it's kind of, you know, marvelous to, like, think back at, you know, Florence and Venice and, you know, Genoa and those areas of Italy really dominated the world. You can see, you know, how people lived and what they were able to build, you know, without any machines or things like that. So it was incredible architecture at the time. But, I mean, even a lot more than the last time I was there, and all the cruise ships are dumping people off there. Florence is a much more livable city and very, very beautiful as well. We were in Rome, which I think is also a very beautiful city. And, you know, it's amazing, too, that, you know, Italy dominated the world twice. I mean, initially during the Roman Empire, and then again during the Renaissance with, you know, Florence and Venice and places like that. So I don't know if there's going to be a third time for Italy to dominate the global economy. I think the Italians could be back.
Who's going to be the next Galileo Galilei, Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo? They could have a post-Renaissance, I guess.
You got to look at China and places like that. You know, everybody's beating up on China right now. And they really have no idea how the world is going to evolve, because it's clear that the superpower of the future, this next cycle, is in Asia, and China is probably going to be the dominant power. And, you know, we keep talking about how, oh, their economy is a disaster, their economy is collapsing. No, it's not. It's the American economy that's collapsing, not the Chinese.
You believe that a lot of our affluence is a direct result of just simply a sleight of hand, a shell game, having the opportunity. The hegemony offered to us by the reserve currency of the world allows us to offshore those worthless paper dollars.
You know, we have a reputation in the past. We were a superpower, an industrial giant. We had low regulations, low taxes, minimal government, and, you know, we were thriving. But we're a shadow of what we used to be. Yet, you know, the perception is still there that we're this, you know, economic power, but we're not. I mean, it's a function of a credit and you know, our ability to borrow money that we can't repay. But at some point, the lenders balk at lending us more money. And it's a whole house of cards that we've created here that we think is a solid economy. Of course, is that the house of cards tumbles down on Trump's watch. And, you know, now this House of Cards has got a big Trump on it, a big, you know, a Trump brand, because he's claimed credit for it all. And, of course, when it collapses, it's going to tarnish the reputation of capitalism, of less government, of deregulation, of tax cuts, because that's what Trump is associated with. And it's going to further the cause of socialism and allow the socialists to argue.
Yeah, that seems to be, you know, sort of the cycle we've seen time and time again. I mean, we could just look back to the British Empire, the de facto for almost 200 years. The sun never set on their empire. But eventually, you know, that starts to wane, and then profligacy. Then you start to lean on your currency too much. And I think that's really what you're alluding to here.
I mean, we took the baton from Britain, but, you know, Britain thrived under a gold standard. You know, they had a solid currency. They had limited government, even though they had a monarchy. There was a lot of limitations on the power of the monarch, so there was a lot of economic freedom in Britain, and that's why they thrived. But eventually, you know, they got democracy reared its head, and people wanted something for nothing, and the government got bigger, and they had to debase the currency and run deficits, and, you know, that opened up a window for the United States to supplant Britain, and, you know, we've opened up an even bigger window for China to supplant us.
Exactly. But, you know, at the same time, we have to keep in mind that the United States still is the de facto largest, you know, by GDP. It's the superpower of China.
Our GDP is all consumption, right? 70% of our GDP is consumers. Well, where are they getting the money? They're borrowing it. What are they buying? Imports. So this whole thing can implode very quickly. If the dollar cracks and interest rates rise, then, you know, the party's over. And that's going to happen eventually. It hasn't happened yet, but it will happen.
Well, not to mention that 70%, you're referring to, of course, consumer spending, the largest component of our GDP. It's roughly 68. Who's splitting hairs? 68-70%. To keep in mind, what's keeping it elevated? And of course, that's credit. They've got the spigots wide open. And if that ever were to dry up, you know, you could see a cut right in half. And of course, that would immediately impact gross domestic product. So let's get to the horror show we're seeing in Ghana. I don't know if you saw the headlines. $1.6 billion evaporated from savings. Tens of thousands of people woke up to find they have nothing due to just more issues in the banking system. How did the precious metals shield us at least a little from something like this?
Well, I mean, precious metals is a store of value. Precious metals is an alternative to government-created monetary substitutes, whether it's the dollar, the euro, the yen, you name it. These are just fiat currencies created out of thin air, whereas gold is a real element that is scarce and expensive to mine. And once you have it, it's yours, you own it, and it has all sorts of uses, the most useful metal on the periodic table. So it's historically been used as a mean of exchange, as money, as a store of value. So if you are worried about problems that would affect currencies, that would cause governments to create more currency, to artificially try to stimulate economies by printing money, or if you're worried about the solvency of banks, banks that have made bad loans, and if you're worried about whether or not your deposits are safe, and even if they are safe, it's because they're repaid with money that has been debased. If you want to hedge against that, protect yourself, then you own gold.
Ghana's banking system, it was in the middle of an implosion, if you will. They reduced the number of their lenders by a third. We saw 23 savings and loans companies shut their doors overnight. That triggered a run on fund managers. They just couldn't sell things fast enough. You're looking at close to it, $1.6 billion. You know, more trouble, though, in Argentina. And I'm kind of setting the stage here to bring us to the United States. I mean, Argentines pulling their dollars out of the bank. They had an election shock there. They're hoarding money. According to Shift Gold, they're hoarding the wrong type of money. Tell us more.
Well, I mean, Argentina, the problem there is you have an election or an election coming up, but the polls are indicating that the left-wing socialist-type candidate is going to replace the more free market-oriented candidate that's there, you know, promising, more free market reforms that in the short run may result in some pain as, some of the freebies go away, right? And, of course, at the ballot box, that usually isn't a good sell. When you have somebody promising something for nothing, whether it's free education, free health care, higher wages, better working conditions, all for nothing, just from government edict, it's a very powerful, lure for the voters. And, you know, we're the same as Argentina. I mean, American voters are, you know, guilty of the same faults. And so I expect a similar result in the 2020 election. I mean, people think that Donald Trump is a sure thing to get reelected. Well, you know, none of those people thought he could get elected. They thought it was impossible. I was one of the few people that thought he could win. But now all the people that thought he couldn't win now think he can't lose. And the problem is, they're going to have a mandate for socialism.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the Federal Reserve's latest moves. I mean, obviously, caught investors and fund managers, institutions a bit off guard. The latest change in their forward guidance, I mean, we obviously are going to have a rate cut in a few weeks, next month, so back-to-back rate cuts on August, September. I mean, that seems to me to show some urgency on their part to support the market. It almost feels like, this is hard for me to believe I'm saying this, the Fed is almost a puppet of the executive branch. When did that happen, and what are the implications?
That happened a long time ago. I mean, how do you think we have such an enormous national debt? It's because the Federal Reserve has been willing to accommodate these deficits by monetizing them. Certainly, during the QE period under Ben Bernanke, none of the big deficits would have been possible without the Fed. So the Fed has already been working hand-in-hand with the executive branch to artificially prop up the government and inflate asset bubbles to try to postpone recessions that are actually healing and are actually necessary to have a healthy economy, but which are politically inconvenient for politicians. So this has been going on for a long time. The idea that we have a central bank that's independent has been a bunch of nonsense. I mean, kind of what's happening now is that Trump is shining a light on that nonsense by calling out the Fed, and beating them up every day. I mean, this was probably going on behind the scenes before Trump showed up. So he's just got a different style. But I think it lets people know, what's actually going on. And if you think the Federal Reserve is independent, I mean, you're wrong.
We've got roughly 20 rate cuts by the key central banks, their colleagues. We're obviously, as I mentioned, another rate cut coming up. It's a new rate cut cycle. So they're trying to support the market, and they're not even going to wait for a Great Recession, 2008, 2009 style market implosion. What's going to keep, the foundation of the house of cards you referred to from ultimately giving way? I mean, are we on the cusp of a runaway equities market that then ultimately leads to a decade of a hangover or worse?
I think the runaway equity market already happened. So I don't think there's another huge leg up waiting for the U.S. stock market. I mean, if that was going to happen, it would already have happened. I mean, the Fed called off the rate hikes. They called off quantitative tightening. They've now started to cut rates. They've opened up the door to more quantitative easing, to negative interest rates, and the market's not going up. So I think the market is expensive. I think the bubble has already popped. The question is, when's the air going to really start coming out? I was a little bit surprised that we made new highs following the big drop in December last year. I mean, I thought we would get a rally. I didn't expect the rally to make new highs. But we did make new highs in some of the indexes. Of course, not all of them. And not all the stocks made new highs. Plenty of stocks didn't. And, the index that was the furthest from the highs was the Russell 2000, which I think is very telling, because that's the index that's done the worst since Trump's been elected. But everybody thought that was going to be the place that did the best, because the Russell 2000 is focused predominantly on domestic stocks. It's not international and multinational. And so that index was supposed to derive the biggest benefit from the U.S. economy improving under Trump. Yet that is the index that's done the worst under Trump. And it didn't come close to making a new high. And in fact, we're now almost back in bear market territory on the Russell 2000. I actually think the U.S. market, the average U.S. stock peaked out in January of 2018. So we really only had one good year for stocks under Trump, and that was the first year that he was elected, because there was all this optimism about all this great stuff that he was going to do. But, of course, none of that great stuff has been done, despite the fact that Trump wants to pretend that he's done it. He hasn't. And I do think that there's a good chance that by the time the 2020 election rolls around, all the gains of 2017 will have been lost, and the U.S. stock market will actually be lower on Election Day 2020 than it was when Trump took office.
I'd like to talk a little bit about last week's chorus of analysts. I'm sure you've read some of the same articles I ran into. Just one Market Watch report last week showed something like four or five top money center analysts calling for gold to hit new highs in the next year or two. And what I find interesting about that is they're really echoing. It's like they're watching or listening to Shift Gold and Gold Seeker Radio. It's like, hey, it's great that you've joined the chorus. What are your thoughts on this? Is this a bad sign that Wall Street and the mainstream are waking up to gold?
If they all were waking up, then maybe it would be, but that's not happened. I mean, yes, there are some people now. It used to be nobody, right? I was like the only one that would recommend buying gold. Now you've got a few people. You got Mark Mobius saying everybody should buy gold. You got Ray Dalio. But these are the type of people that you might have expected to come out with a gold recommendation. But if you look at the typical Wall Street strategist, look at their allocations, look at the major firms, the Morgan Stanleys, the Goldman Sachs, the JP Morgans, these guys are not advocating any gold. Having gold is still a real, fringe position, a real minority. Most people have zero exposure to gold, zero exposure to silver, zero exposure to mining stocks. But yes, there's a couple of people now that have woken up. But this is just the beginning, right? I mean, eventually, you're going to see far more firms jumping on the bandwagon. But I think the price of gold will be significantly higher. I don't expect to see the firms really start to get involved, the big Wall Street houses, until gold is over 2,000. And then at some point, they'll start to notice it, and they'll start to notice the gold stocks. And maybe when the U.S. is in a bear market, they'll think maybe it makes sense to diversify. But by the time everybody gets on board, when it's like every single Wall Street firm is recommending 10% in gold, then maybe that'll be a time to start worrying about a pullback. But right now, it's still such a minority opinion that it's still a non-consensus trade. It's still a contrarian trade. Buying gold is the contrarian. It's the typical portfolio has no gold.
Exactly. I mean, we're looking at the top of the first inning in a doubleheader. They're barely warming up here for the bull rally.
Yeah, and I think some of these Wall Street guys that have got bullish on gold, I mean, maybe they're just deliberately understating it. But, I mean, it's not just that gold's going to go up. Gold's going to go way up, right? It's not just going up a little. Because, and it's not even a function of gold. It's a function of all these fiat currencies about to collapse. Because we reached the end of the rope here when it comes to rate policy. They can't stimulate these economies anymore by cutting rates because they're already at zero. So now they're having to go to negative, but it's never been an economic stimulus. The problem in the global economy is that interest rates have been too low. And the central banks still don't know that. They still want to lower them. And even though they've got to zero, they still can't figure out that that's the low interest rates are the problem, so now they're trying to go below zero. But it's this kind of monetary insanity that you would expect to happen just before the collapse of the whole system. And so as these central banks are just creating money like crazy, gold's got to go way up, not just, in terms of like the Argentine peso. I mean, we talked about what happened, the peso lost 25% of its value overnight when those election results came out. That means gold prices jumped by 25% overnight if you're in Argentina. Well, pretty soon, gold's going to start making those kind of moves in dollars.
Just for folks who aren't aware, Mark Mobius, major fund and money manager, his track record is phenomenal, and he did call this week, investors should buy gold at any price. That's quite an endorsement there from Mark Mobius.
He's not saying wait for a pullback, just buy it.
No, get your hands on some. Exactly. I still find it odd, though, that so many of these top folks are calling for new highs in gold. And you seem to think that these estimates are almost irrelevant, that this is more of a currency issue that we're facing, and one of your fortes at Euro-Pacific.
I think gold's going to get remonetized. I mean, people are very complacent about the U.S. dollar's role as the reserve currency because they don't think there's another currency that's ready to take its place. And that's true. I don't think the euro should be the reserve currency. I don't think the yen should be the reserve currency. I don't think we should have a reserve currency. I think gold should be the reserve for all currencies. Gold was the reserve prior to the U.S. dollar becoming the reserve currency, and the only reason the dollar became the reserve currency was because it was not only backed by gold, but redeemable in gold. So the world was still on a gold standard when it was on the dollar standard. But now that the dollar is backed by nothing and redeemable in nothing, we have no standard, and that's the problem. But I think when they try to put an end to this chaos, the monetary chaos that's coming, the world's going to go back on gold. Central banks around the world are going to be backing up their paper with gold. And that's why central banks are accumulating gold now. I mean, the central banks that get it, that understand where we're going, know that they need to own more gold. And that's why the Chinese are buying. And that's why the Russians are buying. And that's why the price is going much higher. You really want to make money, it's these mining stocks. These things are dirt cheap because they are pricing in, lower gold prices, not higher. They're not even pricing in the current gold price. They assume that the price of gold is going to go down. People assume it's only rising because of temporary factors having to do with uncertainty or geopolitical risks. They have no idea. The people that don't own gold have no idea why people are actually buying it. And they have no idea how high it's going to go. But that means that these gold stocks are a real bargain. And, I got my gold fund, the Euro-Pacific Gold Fund, and we had the number one. I mean, it was ranked up until the end of 2018. My fund got ranked number one by Lipper and Morningstar for 5-year and 3-year track records. I mean, I got 5 stars on Morningstar, and then I got a plaque. This year, we're lagging a bit because I think a lot of the stocks that we have, a lot of the juniors, haven't really moved yet, and I think they're going to move. So I think it's probably a great time for people to be looking at my fund. In fact, we actually removed the load. We were at the top even with a load. We overcame the load, and we were still number one. But now you can go at Fidelity or Schwab, and there isn't a load, so that should make it even better. But, even if you pay the load, it's still, I think, worth it because I think we're doing – Adrian Day is the manager of the fund, by the way. I don't manage it myself. I knew enough to know that I don't know enough about gold mining stocks to pick them myself, so I hired an expert to do it, and that's Adrian Day, and he's done a great job. But, yeah, and, of course, before anybody invests in any kind of fund, they got to read the prospectus, and they got to understand the risk. There are a lot of risks if I'm wrong and you load up on gold stocks and gold goes down, gold stocks are going to go down even more. But if I'm right and gold goes to 5,000, 10,000, the gains in miners are going to be gains on the metal.
Give just a quick endorsement here. Peter Spina at GoldSeek. He's the head, the whiz kid. Peter at GoldSeek.com. I've already addressed to you. He is your go-to guy for really bringing some alpha to your fund. He would work great with Adrian Day on that team if he has time. He's super busy. But you covered two bases, though, here. First, I'd like to jump back to the central banking thesis you brought up. The ones who get it, the people who get it, they're buying gold. But let's not forget, there is a reserve currency out there that isn't tied to the dollar, to the yuan, to the yen, to the euro. And that is gold, now that the Bank of International Settlements just told... I mean, this is the bank of the central banks. And they just said, hey, gold is as good as the dollar for your reserves. So they're starting to wake up to the idea that this is a real currency.
And currency is supposed to be backed by money, except when it's not, we call it fiat currency, which is what we have now. But as people are losing confidence, it, you know, people keep saying the dollar is the cleanest dirty shirt in the hamper. Well, I don't want to wear a dirty shirt. You get a brand new shirt that's not in the hamper. Well, that's gold. Gold is beautiful. So, you know, why settle for the least bad fiat currency when you can take real money? And so that is the decision that more and more people are going to be making. Right? They're not going to try to choose between the lesser of the evils. They're going to choose good. People have turned to cryptos for that reason. But I also think there's a big component of the crypto appeal is how much more people think they're going to go up. I mean, when I talk to crypto people, you know, they're looking at $50,000, $100,000, $1 million of Bitcoin. So where the numbers that people throw around for Bitcoin are much, much higher. I mean, when someone talks about $5,000 to $10,000 gold, I mean, that's, you know, you're only talking $5,000 gold is only a triple from here, right? I mean, so nobody who's buying Bitcoin thinks it's only going to triple. So there's a lot of expectations for high in the sky gains that are built into Bitcoin or other cryptos. So that is, I think, is a bigger driver than, oh, I just need to get out of the dollar. Because if you're just trying to get out of the dollar, you know, gold is a lot safer way to do it. Bitcoin is looking for the home run. But I think if people want a home run, they'd be better off, you know, buying the mining stocks, I think, as a leveraged bet on gold versus betting that cryptos are going to end up being digital gold as opposed to the fool's gold that I think they are. But, you know, it is possible that if we really get a run or, you know, people get scared of dollars and euros and yen, that, you know, they could end up, driving more demand for Bitcoin. But I think it's more likely that we have a collapse of the cryptocurrencies before we have a collapse of the government issued fiat currencies. In fact, if you look at the altcoins, they're basically already collapsing if you, you know, measure their exchange rates, especially against Bitcoin. If you look at it, you know, the Bitcoin now is about almost 70% of the total market cap of all the cryptos. But a year ago, I mean, I think it was down to less than 40%. So Bitcoin, you know, keeps gaining, or these altcoins keep losing value relative to Bitcoin. And I think that's going to continue. But, you know, a lot of the Bitcoin people somehow think that this validates Bitcoin as, you know, oh, it's the last man standing. Well, it may be the last man standing until it falls too. Because I think that, you know, first they'll shoot the altcoins, and then, you know, then they'll shoot Bitcoin too, because the similarities far outweigh the differences between these currencies. And, you know, if the altcoins can all go, I mean, Bitcoin is next.
But wouldn't you agree, though, that one of the chief things that the precious metals miners have going for them, other than being the only way to really procure gold, these high-flying tech companies and the rest, the money managers, they can very quickly and easily allocate funds from the high flyers, from the techs, from the technology sector, directly into the precious metals miners, and that doesn't really scare their investors. It doesn't make them look bad. There's no extra added risk. And it's such a relatively tiny market, the miners, relative to techs. Give us your estimates on the XAU and the HUI.
Yeah, I mean, look, once Wall Street moves into the sector, once they discover the sector, and of course, we're a ways away from that happening, but they will, you know, but right now everybody is bullish. They see no reason to hedge. They see no reason to buy. But, you know, but there will be, just like, you know, there was no interest in Bitcoin until all of a sudden it went way up, right? Nobody really was talking about Bitcoin, in the financial community until the price, you know, really ran from like 10,000 to 20,000. And all of a sudden people were talking about it, and some institutions actually got into it. And I think something like that will happen with gold once it makes a big enough move to get, you know, people greedy enough to start thinking about it. But also fearful enough that people start to worry about their portfolios going down and inflation, which they're not worried about now, or the dollar, there will be a move into gold stocks in particular. And yeah, I mean, the market capitalization of all the gold stocks combined, I mean, isn't even one tech stock. I mean, if you take every single gold stock that exists. But if you try to get a lot of company, you know, a lot of money into these stocks, I mean, obviously the price is going to go up. And, you know, we know if Wall Street falls in love with something, I mean, look at the price of Beyond Meat, you know, and all these stocks like that that don't even have any earnings. I mean, so, you know, gold stocks, you know, exploration companies that don't have earnings, who knows what kind of crazy price can be, you know, bid on these stocks based on, you know, people wanting to bet that they find gold. And, you know, there's an old saying, there's no rush like a gold rush.
Let's wrap up today, essentially, with that question. What is the fair value for the yellow metal today? If it were to readjust, let's get the, like, fiat money collapse drama. I mean, what's a real fair value today for gold?
Yeah, my guess is it's probably somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 an ounce. That's where that's why I'm predicting those numbers, because I think gold should already be there. Now, of course, when it comes to gold's fair value, because you always have to value gold in relation to the quantity of fiat currencies that are created. So the more money that gets created, or the more fiat currency that's created, the higher the gold price needs to be in relation to that fiat money. A better way to try to value gold would be, you know, what is, you know, gold versus copper, or what is gold versus wheat, or what is gold versus crude oil? You know, what relationship there? What should the price of gold be relative to those? But to try to say what should the price of gold be in dollars, who knows? One day, maybe $1 million an ounce will be too low, right? If they print enough money. I mean, what's the price of gold in Zimbabwe? How many Zimbabwe dollars does it take to buy an ounce of gold? I mean, I'm not sure how many trillion it takes, you know. But once upon a time, the Zimbabwe dollar and the U.S. dollar, I think, had the same value. Gold was the same in both currencies.
The Rogan Experience, we're huge fans here at Gold Seek, and Joe and Jamie.
You know, the first two times I did the show was in his original studio. And then he got a lot bigger. He built out a new, much bigger studio. And so I was in that one the third time I did the show. But yeah, no, it's all up. It's in the valley in Southern California. I guess however he decorates it is his style. But yeah, he's really, really grown in popularity. Probably between the first time I was on the show and the last time. So obviously that's due to my being on the show. I claim credit for his rise in popularity.
Chairman of ShiftGold.com, don't forget to bookmark the site. Tell us more about what you're doing and what folks will find.
Well, on ShiftGold, you'll find the best prices for gold and silver bullion online. You're not going to get talked into some coins that people claim to be rare or collectible, numismatic-type coins. You'll just get bullion. So people should definitely go to ShiftGold.com and get some physical gold and silver. Particular silver right now is a great buy. Again, when you talk about pricing gold relative to other things, well, price silver relative to gold. Silver has really never been this cheap in history in relation to gold. So silver is a great buy. Gold's going to go up, but that means silver should go up even more. So you can get silver at shiftgold.com. Also, you can open up accounts online if you don't have, you know, $5,000 or $10,000. I forget what our minimum is. If you just want to buy $50 or $100 worth of gold, go to goldmoney.com, set up an account, and buy gold in, you know, small increments and have it stored in a way that's liquid, that you can actually use it as a medium of exchange. You can send portions of your gold to anybody anywhere in the world for free if they have an account at Gold Money as well. So it's a great way not only to store gold as a store of value, but to use it as a medium of exchange. And if you have larger portfolios, of course, check out my brokerage firm, Euro Pacific Capital, Euro Pacific Asset Management. We have 5 mutual funds, including the gold fund that I mentioned earlier. I have separately managed accounts. I think that the dollar is, you know, done here. I think it's only a question of time, but you want to make sure to protect yourself from this and get money out of U.S. assets, U.S. stocks, U.S. bonds, and into equity investments in countries that I think are in better shape than the U.S.
Peter Schiff, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Bye, Chris.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. OneGold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. OneGold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind
and markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals, distributed ledger, and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
Shopping for fine jewelry just got easier. GoldSeek.com has identified the most successful jewelry brand to launch in recent times. Many Jewelry is rewriting the way consumers buy fine jewelry. Integrity Craftsmanship, the only company to sell 24-karat gold and platinum jewelry, avoiding confusing alloys and gems, a true precious metals investment. Many Jewelry's disruptive business model embraces Franco-American craftsmanship and direct-to-consumer economics, rapidly disrupting the $20 billion monopoly, just like Amazon and Uber. The sky is the limit with $1 billion of jewelry purchases daily for loved ones and those special occasions. Many Jewelry is an innovator positioned to capture market share, with annual sales growth in the industry topping $30 billion by 2021. Many Jewelry coined the term investment jewelry, pricing by the gram, transparently disclosing its profit margins, a truer investment in pure gold or platinum. Similar to real estate, even artwork, Many Jewelry has a weighted value, easily calculated, ensuring value wealth as a long-term investment. With sales in 60 countries around the globe, 20,000 orders already, don't miss out on the explosive growth potential. Many Jewelry trades under the symbols MENE on the Toronto Exchange and in the US, MENEF. Remember to sign up to Many's Shareholder Club to receive shareholder news, updates, and special discount codes for jewelry purchases. Remember, Many Jewelry.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.